Hi there, folks. Welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington joined by Richard Birch and Robbie Wilders looking ahead to a busy Saturday of ITV Racing. 9 races on ITV4, the highlight of which is the Air Gold Cup. We'll see if the boys have been studying hard and who they've come up with. So we've got 5 at Air, we've got 4 at Newbury. Plenty of other stuff going on. We'll see what else the boys fancy. And of course, we'll get the all-important weekend naps. Let's get straight into this Air card then. Loads of runners, really, really competitive racing. No complaints about field sizes at all this weekend. The 120 is the Virgin Bet Handicap. It's over a mile. All the prices I read out today are going to be the best odds as per racingpost.com at the time of recording, which is lunchtime on Friday. Koi Koi, favourite at 7-2, and then it's 6-1, Dirty Old Town. 15-2, what's the story? 9, Red Arna, 10, Persuasion, 12, Bar. I think Birchie should go first. I think Birchie's, I get the impression he's been studying hard. I'm sure they both have, but I fancy Birchie to have a stellar Saturday. What do you reckon, Birchie?
Hope so.
What's your confidence levels like?
7 out of 10.
Oh, that's not bad. We'll take that. Who wins this?
Right, Red Arna. Trained by the much underrated Diane Sayer. Now, some of the results this lady gets with a sort of seemingly exposed handicappers are extraordinary. Once again this week, she had a horse at Kelso called the Navigator, who's totally exposed over hurdles, totally exposed on the flat. Goes to Kelso in a 2 mile, 4 furlong handicap hurdle off probably a career high mark, and won on the bridle. She's very, very good. The reason I talk about the Navigator is because stable companion Red Arna is a similar type. 8 years old, high in the weights, seemingly fully exposed. Surely no more improvement at the age of 8, but you wouldn't bet on it with Sayer. Loves air. Most of his best performances have come at this track. Goes well at this meeting. Seemingly better than ever. I think he's a great bet at the price.
Brilliant. A no-nonsense start from Birchie. Love that. Robbie, how are you? How are your confidence levels?
Yeah, good, mate. Confident overall. Certainly not in this race.
I was, well, overall, as in life or with regard to Saturday's racing?
No, both, mate, yeah.
Good.
You know what I'm like.
Yeah, you're very much a man who lives his life on the front foot, aren't you?
Cheers, mate, yeah. But not in this race, actually, because I thought this was too odd. So I'd like to set one out every week and this was going to be the one for me.
Right, very definite Birchie with Red Arna and a very cautious opening delivery from Robbie Wilders. He lets that one go through to the keeper. Next up is the 155 at Air. It's the Virgin Bet Doonside Cup. It's a listed race over a mile and two. A mile and two. I reiterate that because when you hear who's in it, you might think, is that not too short for him? The favourite at 7-4 is Phantom Flight. 4-1 Royal Champion. 6-1 the horse I was referring to, Eukan Glen, the lovely Eukan Glen, back down to 10 furlongs. 17-2 Marie's Diamond and Stormy Antarctic and 10 Bar. I love the old Eukan, Robbie, but he's going to have to get going a little bit earlier than he normally does over 10 furlongs, isn't he?
Yeah, I love Eukan as well. I backed him a couple of times this season. I wouldn't be too concerned by the trip, actually, because he's... He's just very versatile. He can handle 10 furlongs for sure. I mean, I seem to remember him winning a decent race at Sandown last season over 10 furlongs. But no, I didn't like him. I thought Phantom Flight was a good favourite here. Completely unexposed. I mean, his handicap form 2 starts to go behind New London's working out really well, obviously, at Newmarket. He would have finished second there with better passage. Really nice performance at York last time. He's gone to a mark of 108. Lightly raced. Yeah, I think it'll be too good.
Righty-ho, Robbie goes for the favourite. Birchie, do you agree?
I do agree. Highest official rating in the race, winner of 3 of his last 5 starts. Impressive at York, at the Ebor meeting. You know, form from the Ebor meeting usually works out very well. It's up to listed class. I think he's gone up £10 in the weights. But there's not a great gulf between top handicap company and listed grade. And no, I think he's a good thing.
Excellent. We move on to the 2:30 at Air on Saturday. Now, the Virgin Bet Air Silver Cup over 6 films. And for once, we've got a consolation race that's bucking the recent trend of very underpopulated consolation races. We've got the full shebang here, 25 runners, ludicrously competitive. Let's see what extra places we've got. Well, I'm looking on... When you click on the best odds button on racingpost.com, you get odds comparison with seven leading bookmakers, and they also tell you who the best place terms are. So it's a really good way of working out how to very quickly get the best value. And Skybet are offering seven places. Most of the others are six as well. So you'll need them here, though, because it is ludicrously competitive. As I say, Snash is favourite at 8-1, then it's 12-1. Azza Jumeirah, 12-1. Dusky Lord, 12-1. Emperor Spirit, 14 Abolish, 14 Lovely Breeze and Vintage Clarence, 16 Bar. Birchie, how do you approach a race like this?
Well, one absolutely leaps out to me off the page in this race. I fancy one strongly in this. Jump the Gun. Now, Ian Jardine's got two runners in this race, and most people will probably think that Abolish is the stable number one, because Abolish came second at Haydock last time to Kanjar, who is red-hot favourite for the Air Gold Cup, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But I like the perceived stable number two, Jump the Gun, but I'm not so sure it really is. If you watched this horse at Ascot last time out over seven furlongs, he pulled like an absolute train. They went a really steady pace. As you say, he pulled like a train. Yeah, if you watch him in the final sort of 100 yards, and then I often watch horses. I know it's a bit anorakish, but I often watch horses after the line. I stop the Racing Post videos when I can, and then I watch them after the line and see what they're doing after the line. Some people say it's nonsense because some horses are obviously being eased down. Some horses are tired, and some, you know, haven't made maximum effort, and so they're sort of finishing stronger than you'd expect. If you watch Jump the Gun, he's absolutely flying after the finish.
This is your greyhound pedigree, isn't it, of course, coming in? When you watch him for the pickup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Make sure they're strong to the pickup, yeah.
Absolutely, to the pickup. Very good, very good. And I say, this Jump the Gun, I mean, he's run multiple times as a youngster over six furlongs, but he hasn't run over six furlongs for quite some considerable time. The way he ran at Ascot, a shorter trip with a much stronger pace is going to suit him because he's not going to pull so hard. And he was exceptionally strong at the finish and after the line. So I think this is a well-handicapped horse. Ian Jardine Air at the Western meeting. I mean, he's a local, he's a Scottish trainer, local trainer. He'll be absolutely gagging to win a race like this. And I think Jump the Gun's the one. I'm going to have a really good bet on him.
Oh, love it. You make a very strong case. Okay, from Birchie to a man who certainly pulls hard, it's Robbie Wilders. Who do you fancy here, mate?
Cheers, mate. I actually like Jardine's other runner that Birchie sort of grabbed a little bit of Abolish. I mean, keep an eye on this horse for a while. He was quite smart in Norway before they brought him over.
That's not a sentence I've heard on the podcast too often.
Quite smart in Norway.
Mm.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, he's fallen from a mark of 100 since he's come here, but he's run some really nice races. That run behind Kanjar is obviously favourite for the Air Gold Cup later on the card. I think that was a decent performance. He's off the same mark here. He's about 14-1. So I thought, yeah, he was quite a nice each-way price.
Okay, the boys both fancy Ian Jardine to win the Silver Cup, but not with the same horse. Birchie, very, very sweet on Jump the Gun. And Robbie likes the other Jardine runner, Abolish. The 305 at Ayr is the Virgin Firth of Clyde Filly Stakes, a Group 3 over six furlongs, and Queen Me. Could be some sentimental money there for the favourite here at 11-8. 11-2 is Bonnie Angel, 7-1 all the time. 10 Maria Branwell, 12 Believing, 16-1 Bar. Robbie, take it away. Who do you like here?
Yeah, I thought Queen Me is going to be pretty hard to beat here. I mean, finished a clear second in the Lowther Group 2. That was always a strong race. I mean, she's finished 2.5 lengths clear of the third there. It was only a second start. She's unexposed. She's the highest rated by miles. I just don't really see how she gets beaten, to be honest.
Favourite for you as well, Birchie?
No. I think she's got a great chance. As Robbie says, the Lowther form is probably quite good. Much the highest rating in the race, but Bonnie Angel, my word, did you see her win at Donny the other day? She was so impressive. I know it was a nursery. I know it was a filly's nursery. And I know she was off a mark of, 77 or something. But she absolutely bolted up. Big step up in class, but she's improving rapidly. If I had to have a bet in the race, I'd back her each way at around 5-1.
I always like a Clive Cox as well, don't you, Birch?
Yeah,
there's something reassuring about that, isn't there?
There is something reassuring. He's a very, 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 very talented trainer.
And in this, great turnout, 12 runners. And believe it or not, Skybet, five places. So you could back Bonnie Angel at 5-1 with Skybet, five places. I hate the term each way bet to nothing because I've had too many each way bets that have returned nothing. But that's veering into that territory, Birchie, isn't it?
You'd be amazed, wouldn't you, if you finished sixth? You would. Mm. You would genuinely be amazed. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the only thing is the first rule of betting is however many extra places they offer, I always finish the next position down.
I do too. I do too. I actually don't like these major sort of seventh and eighth places because mine will finish eighth or ninth. But, it's the way the cookie crumbles, isn't it?
It certainly is. I'm sure that isn't the case. You just remember it when it happens. So it clouds your thinking. Right, well, there will certainly be some extra places on offer in our next race. It's the race of the weekend, the 3:40 Air on Saturday, 7-6 furlongs for the Virgin Bet Air Gold Cup. Always one of the great handicaps of the year and always competitive. Let's have a little look at the best prices. 9-2 Kanjar, strong favourite for William Haggas and Jim Crowley. 10-1 Bielsa and lovely old Summergand. 12-1 Comanche Falls. 14-5,000-1. 14 the equally lovely Gulliver and Mr. Wagyu. 16 Montegalli, Popmaster, Vaydream. Let's see what the extra place situation is as things stand. Might always change throughout the day. Sometimes some bookmakers leave it till later on to push the boat out on the extra place. You put Skybet a 7. Most other people are 6. Right, Birch, it falls to you to go first. Do you like the Haggas favourite in Kanjar, or are you looking elsewhere?
Well, I've previewed this race for the paper tomorrow, and I spoke to William Haggas earlier this morning, and he basically said that the horse is a very exciting horse with loads of potential, but his big fear is he might not be, quote, streetwise enough to win a race of this magnitude at this moment in time. I don't know whether he's playing it down. I get the impression that he thinks he is a really good horse. And if he is a really, really good horse, maybe the lack of experience might not be as significant as he's saying. But he's a very short price for a massively competitive race, obviously 25 runners. There's a horse in here who, it might sound bizarre, comparing Brighton form with an Air Gold Cup winner. But there's a horse here called Montegalli, who I remember at Brighton a couple of years ago on very firm ground, absolutely demolishing my favourite horse of the last 10 years, Pour La Victoire. I had a big bet on Pour La Victoire that day and I fully expected him to win. I couldn't believe how Montegalli made him look so third rate. The key to Montegalli is 6 furlongs on firm ground, off a strong pace. He's got a very, very high cruising speed and he's got an excellent turn of foot. Now, the ground is drying out all the time up there. I believe there's still a little bit of good to soft in the going description, but the forecast is it's dry, a bit windy. So by tomorrow, it's got to be good or maybe even good to firm in places. And that will really, really suit Montegalli. He's well handicapped. He's gone to Scott Dixon and ran an eye-catching race last time at Doncaster. I think this is a decent each-way bet at around 16-20-1.
And Birchie drawn 22. And if we look at the last 5 winners of this race, they've been drawn 25, 13, 24, 21 and 17. So you'd think a high draw won't do him any harm.
No, I hope not.
Okay, right then. Robbie, you've heard a very convincing case from Birch there from Montegalli. How are you going to counter that? Or are you going to counter it? Are you going to row with Birchie?
No, I'm going to counter it. Not with Kanjar. I mean, it's just too short a price in a 25-run race. I'd always try and get horses that short beaten. I mean, Kevin Ryan's got an absolutely mustard record in this. He's won 5 since 2007, I read. He's got a really strong team. I mean, Bielsa's going to go well again, I think. He obviously won it last year. Bolted up in it last year when he was on his own on the stand side. He's drawn differently this time, so we won't be able to do those tactics again. But he's only £1 lower, and he's just been running in better races than this. I think he's going to come back to form. And I also like Ryan's gets a sub about 20-1. This horse has always been really hard regarded. He only ran 2 starts ago in the Group 1 Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot. He's been gelded since. Ran a fair enough race on his return from a couple of months off at York. Handicap debut last time. He's off the same rating here. He's about 33-1. I thought he was too big. And also, I should add, there's not too much pace in this. So I had a look at the front runners. There was only three potential front runners I could find. And draw next to each other, Gissa Sub and Mr. Wagyu draw next to each other in 14 and 15. So I thought Gissa Sub was probably the overpriced one. Bielsa will also be on my team.
Splendid. Thank you very much indeed, gents. And that concludes the air preview. We're going to do Newbury in 10 seconds time.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast. Bruce Millington looking ahead to the weekend action along with Richard Birch and Robbie Wilders. We've done air. Now let's look at four races on ITV4 on Saturday from Newbury, starting with the Dubai Duty Free Legacy Cup. It's a Group 3 over 1.3 miles. Used to be known as the Arc Trial. I don't think it's got an Arc winner in it, although the race suddenly became more open this week with what for me was very disappointing news that Baid is going to go for the Champion Stakes after all. William Haggas had offered us a glimmer of excitement. It sounded like they were going to roll the dice and go for the Arc, but they're not. They've taken the 7-iron out of the bag, put the driver away, and they're going to lay up and play safe. Before we look at this race, Robbie, good decision, bad decision. How are you feeling? I'm very disappointed by it.
I think it's a shrewd decision for Haggas because in his bid for the trainer's title, I mean, Baid is probably going to stroll home in the Champion Stakes, and that could be enough to clinch it. I think the Champion Stakes is worth about $700,000 to the winner. So, I mean,
So we've got to be denied the chance of a great being anointed so that William Haggas can win the trainer's championship.
No, I mean, I disagree with that. But, I mean, yeah, for race fans, it's annoying. But for the kind of connections, I think it makes perfect sense. But, yeah, I mean, as a spectator, I'd much rather he went for the Arc. It'd be more of a challenge. We'd learn more about him. We're not going to learn anything at Ascot, are we? So no. It is a shame, but I get why they're doing it at the same time.
Well, okay, fair enough. But I just think racing's all about creating greatness, and you only get one chance. And I think this horse's career, Birch, is going to have an asterisk by it if he doesn't go to the Arc. What do you reckon?
I never in a million years thought he'd run in the Arc. I know there was speculation in various quarters. But
well, not least in the man himself. I mean, I know, but
even if it came up good to firm, there's a chance that, I mean, how many great horses have been beaten in the Arc before? I mean,
well, tell me, how many? I don't think it's that many.
Lots and lots. I know it's a slightly different race now in the 2020s than it was in the 1980s. I always remember being brought up in the 70s and 80s and whatever, and you know, the best British horse of that year would win the Derby. It might win the Guineas. Then it would go out to Longchamp. It didn't matter whether it was normally a bog out there. Sometimes it wasn't a bog, but they'd all get beat. Reference Point, you know.
Dancing Brave was just
Dancing Brave.
Dancing Brave. He was brilliant, though, wasn't he?
Charistani got slaughtered. There's loads of horses go out there and get beat. And at the start of this season, William Haggas made it patently obvious that the big thing with this horse was exactly the same as Frankel. I mean, in Frankel's final season, Henry Cecil was never in a million years going to take one chance. If that horse had, you know, sniffed in its box a day before it ran, he would have pulled it out, because it's all about retiring the horse unbeaten to stud. That's the only thing that matters in their mind. And, you know, if he runs in the Arc and he runs in the Champion Stakes at Ascot, he's so much more likely to go to stud unbeaten if he goes to Ascot. And at the end of the day, that was the million-dollar thing in their minds. I know it is disappointing for race fans. I would argue that if he ran in the Arc and got beat, in my eyes, he'd still be the second best horse I've ever seen. If he won the Arc, well, we'd never know, would we? We don't know whether he's as good as Frankel. We won't know. As it stands, he's going to retire to stud after Ascot as the second best horse I've ever seen. I don't think, even if he won the Arc, I could say he was the best horse I've ever seen. That's just
well, you don't know if he won the Arc by six lengths, which he probably would, which he may well have done.
You'd have
something to think about, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's bred to stay. He looks like he'll stay. And also, you know, Nijinsky got beat in the Arc. Sjögaard lost his unbeaten tag. I think an unbeaten tag is actually a slightly overrated thing. You know, I mean. I think it is too.
But I think with especially with the Shad Will Stud situation, you know, they need a really, you know, they need a absolute star, don't they, to go to Stud. And he's going to be obviously he's going to be more attractive if he's unbeaten because they can compare him with Frankel.
I suppose so. Look, he's a fantastic horse, and we will very much enjoy watching him at Ascot. I will stop moaning about it now and rip up my 33-1 betting slip. So that was it, Bruce Millington's pocket. Let's get back to the 140 at Newbury. And it's wide open, this, but the boys in blue are very much fancied to win at the Godolphin colours. Fill the front three places in the market. Dubai Future 3-1. Siskany 4-1, Kimari 11-2, and then it's 13-2, Solid Stone 8-1, bar Robbie Wilders. Who's going to win this?
Yeah, I was thinking Dubai Future, first of all. I don't like the other two Godolphins, Kimari and Siskany. I think they're stayers. Dubai Future, I mean, on the face of it, he was slightly disappointed at York last time, but Sabuska and Dubai Honor came out and did run quite well beyond bar, even the Jogmont. But I thought he was fairly priced. I thought the overpriced one was actually Stay Alert at double figure odds. Three-year-old filly getting all the allowances. Slightly disappointing last time at Haydock, but that was her first run on soft ground in the Lancashire Oaks. And I mean, that was a really good group too, I thought. She's obviously down slightly in class. She's back at Newbury. Her form at Newbury is really good. Won a listed race here already. Finished a close second to Nashua here on a previous listed race. I mean, Nashua's obviously gone on and won a couple of group ones. So I just think getting stacks of weight from the other horses, I think this kind of test will suit. And she could go well at a double-figure price.
Jolly good. How about you, Birchie? What's your view of this race?
Haven't really got a clue. I think this race is more difficult than the Air Gold Cup or the Air Silver Cup, even though there's much less runners. Wouldn't be surprised if anything in the race won it. One I'm drawn to is Siskany. Now, I know he hasn't run for 203 days, but he gets £5 off last year's winner, Solid Stone. If you go back through last year's form, he went off 8-15 favourite over course and distance with St Simon Stakes in October. Got beat. I know he got beat, but it was very soft ground that day. He wants good or good to firm ground. Can't see, you know, it's Charlie Appleby. 203-day absence won't be a concern. I think that's the one at the price.
Lovely stuff. The 2:15 at Newbury on Saturday is the Dubai International Airport. World Trophy. It's a Group 3 over 5 furlongs. And Manakan is just about favourite at the moment at 7-2. Tis Marvellous is 4s. Mitt Bahi is 7. Chilchil 8s. Diligent Harry 17-2. And it's 12-1 bar. And you will get 5 extra places with Sky, 4 with other bookmakers. So always best when you're shopping around. So not just choose the best price, but also the best place terms. Birchie, who should people be leaning towards here, do you think?
There's a massively overpriced horse in this race, Chilchil. Beaten less than a length last time in the Haydock Sprint Cup. Last September, in the Haydock Sprint Cup last September. Emiratiana won that race. Starman, who at the time everyone thought was a champion sprinter, that was second. There's nothing of that caliber in this field. She's taken a bit of time to come to hand this year, but she showed last time that she was coming back to form. This is last time she ran in a Group 1. This is a Group 3. It's a considerable drop in class. I think she's got an excellent chance. I couldn't believe she was 8-1.
Just looking on the web on racingpost.com, I think RPRs agree with you, Birchie. Excellent. Chilchil for Birchie. What do you make of this one, Rob?
Yeah, I completely agree with Birchie, actually. I was previewing this race and I thought Chilchil looked too big. I mean, you could say she's a bit of a 6-furlong specialist, but I mean, I think she's quick enough for 5. And the last time she ran over 5, she was only beaten 2¾ lengths in the Nunthorpe. I mean, that's the kind of ability we're dealing with. She did bounce back to a certain degree last time at Haydock, fifth to Minzel, being quite far, but Minzel completely ran away with that, didn't he? Yeah, she's 8-1. I thought she'd be among one of the favourites, to be honest. I think this is a good bet here.
Okay, let's move on to the 2:50 at Newbury. It's the Dubai Duty-Free Mill Reef Stakes, Group 2 for two-year-olds over 6 furlongs. Some good horses have won this in the past for sure. 7 go to post here, And Sakir, very impressive last time for Rog, is the favourite at 2-1. And then it's 11-4, should have been a ring. 8-1, Heroism. 12, Sharon. 16, Wallop. 20-1, Bar. Robbie Wilder's first up. Sakir last time was so impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive enough to earn your vote.
He did look really good. And he's only about 7-1 for the middle part next week. And also that, I should say, that novice Varian won with San Donato a few years ago. He was a really smart sprinter he had. I just thought Wallop was quite interesting at a big old price. I know he's a maiden, but I mean, the form of his novice run behind Noble Style and Mill Stream was excellent. I mean, Noble Style's obviously come out and won the Gim Crack in really good style. He was favourite for the middle part next time. And I thought Mill Stream ran better than the sort of result suggested in the Acom Stakes. He didn't stay 7 furlongs that day. Wallop showed a lot of ability there. He was only beaten less length by Millstream, and there was miles back to the fourth. I think it's significant Hannon's willing to put him straight into a group two after this. I just thought he'd be a bit short, to be honest. Wallop for me.
It's a great racehorse name, that, isn't it? Wallop. That is a proper racehorse name.
Yeah, lovely. Apparently, Birchie. the owner's got one called Bosch as well.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Oh, they're good. They're good names, those. I love them.
I've got a half sister to them called Crash, yeah?
Is that right?
No, I'm joking.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, mate. Debbie there. Yeah, if you told me they'd taken the word gullible out of the dictionary, I'd gone, really? Why have they done that? Go on, mate.
Boring favourite. Massive word for him before Windsor. Should have won, got beat.
You didn't tell
Very
me.
Impressive. Eh?
You didn't pass that on to me.
No, I can't tell everyone.
Good job he didn't, mate, because he got beat.
He did get beat, yeah. it was some ludicrous price and it got beat. And I didn't think it should have got beat. I thought we got a moderate ride on the night. But certainly didn't do it any harm, because next time out, absolutely bolted up, looked a real star. And I was reading the Gallops report in the Racing Post the other week, and apparently it's been burning up the Gallops and is rated a Group 1 performer. So if it is, it should be winning this race.
Okay. By the way, Bircher, just Sam Hart, producer Sam's just given me a shout. He's pointed out the fact that your Motor Garlic, your tip for the Air Gold Cups, and it's getting absolutely smashed to smithereens. 28s down to 12s.
I've got my men out already.
Are you already on, are you?
My men are working on it already. I'm joking.
Nothing to do with me. You've blown the whistle, and in about 50 betting shops all around the country, they've all gone in and stuck 100 quid on, haven't they? Yeah. I know how you operate.
Cash then.
Finally, on the ITV4 menu on Saturdays, the 3:25 at Newbury, it's the Dubai Duty-Free Handicap. 13 runners, 1 mile and two the trip. Warren Point is favourite at 5-1 for Charlie Appleby and Adam Kirby. Ottoman Fleet is sevens. Both of those horses are trained by Charlie Appleby. And then it's 8-1 Hamaki, 8C the Casper, 10 Marching Army and 12 Special Envoy, 14 Bar. And we're going to go with you first, Birchie. Who wins?
Hard race. See the Casper's improving. 1-3 or 4. 8 stone, £11. A nice racing weight. Simon and Ed Crisford are in great form. They've been in great form for a considerable amount of time, and they're still in great form. I like the fact that they've got a good apprentice to take £3 off. I think it might still have a few pounds in hand. So see the Casper.
Robbie Wilders.
Yeah, Ottoman Fleet interesting here. He went off second favourite for the King Edward at Royal Ascot. He didn't quite run to form there. But, he's been... Oh, sorry, what was I saying? The run before that, Newmarket listed race. I mean, he did remarkably well to win that. He almost stumbled upon leaving the stalls. And he stayed on really powerfully. I think there's still a lot of untapped potential there. He's had a break. I like it when Charlie Appleby sort of runs these high-class colts and geldings in handicaps. I mean, he's done great things in New London and Secret State in handicaps this year. Handicap debut, only his fourth start, a mark of 100. I mean, we all thought he was a Group 2 horse at Royal Ascot. So if he still is one, he should be winning this.
Thank you very much. That's the TV fair covered. Let's see what else the boys fancy in just a jiffy.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the third and final part of the postcast from the Racing Post. Bruce Millington, Richard Burcham, Robbie Wilders. We've done the five ITV4 races at Ayr, the four ITV races at Newbury. We've got the undercards, we've got Newmarket, we've got Catterick Bridge, we've got Wolverhampton, and in Ireland, Navan and Garum Park on Saturday. On Sunday, the Listowel Festival starts to see Kenboys running there. That's something to get the Jumps fans' appetite whetted, isn't it? Right, what else do you fancy, boys? Do not give your naps away. Robbie Wilders, you can go first.
Yeah, got one, Bruce. 5:20 at Ayr, 1.5 handicap, quality horse called Aymeric for Roger Varian. Just see that David Milnes has tipped him up for tomorrow as well. Don't know if that's a good thing or not. But
it's a very good thing. If our super shrewd Newmarket correspondent tips him, that's really good.
I'll mug him for a cheap laugh, yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Still not actually met the fella in person. But anyway, this horse, interesting profile. I mean, two starts ago, he beat El Habib in a Chester Maiden in July. I mean, that horse has obviously come out and run really well in the St. Ledger, finished sixth that day. He didn't really go to plan for Aymeric in the Melrose at York, but that's always a really good race. I'd be inclined to give him another chance. He's down £2. He's very well bred. He's a half brother to Acclaim. I mean, I know Acclaim was a sort of 7 furlong horse slash a miler, but I mean, this horse has looked like he's got a bit of talent about him, and on his handicap debut, second run of the handicap, I think it'll go well.
You never met Milnesy, really?
No, never, mate. I mean, because he's always at like a race course or whatever. I never go to the track, do I?
Oh, fair enough.
Never come to the office. You don't come to the office, I'm not going to see you.
Well, before your time, there was a legendary Racing Post reporter called Graham Green, who Birch you will know very well, obviously. And in all my time being editor and working at the Racing Post, I never actually met him. And then when he retired and to deliver his laptop and everything. And I met him and it was lovely to see him, but it kind of ruined the myth of it all. Never mind. Anyway, Birch, who have you got for us for a weekend fancy?
2:58 Catterick, Wade's Magic. 6 furlong handicap, soft ground. When it's soft ground at Catterick, they come stand side, so you want a high draw. He's drawn in stall 10, got a lot of early pace, should be able to get to that stand side pretty easily and get the rail. There's a stat here that I used for my Pricewise Extra column on Sunday. 5 of his 6 career wins have come in the months of August or September. He's peaking now. He ran very well in a better race on Sunday at Chepstow, finished 4th. He's definitely ready to win, and this is a lesser race. So I think he's a good thing.
Wade's Magic. I need to make a note of that, because whenever you do these ones on the undercard, I'm watching the telly and the racing's on, and all of a sudden they go, and going into the final funnel, Wade's Magic coming clear. And I'm was the one I was meant to back, so I'll make sure I'm on beforehand this time. Anything else for us, Birchie, or is it just the nap to come?
This will be a big price. Quite like Sir Plato in the 501 Newmarket. He's a very quirky horse. The key to this fancying him tomorrow is he's never run at Newmarket before, and there's plenty of sort of undulations and ridges at Newmarket, and Sir Plato's favourite track by far is Chepstow, which isn't entirely dissimilar.
That's a roller coaster, isn't it? That it's up and down all the way around.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Rod Millman's in absolutely super form. I think this might. It would be a big price. I think he'll go well.
It's an interesting race, that, isn't it, Birchie? Because it's the amateur jockeys Cambridgeshire. So your one's written by Mrs. Jo Supple.
Don't know anything about her, but she did. She rode it last time. She rode Sir Plato last time at Goodwood, and he ran really well, finished second.
Brilliant. Excellent stuff. Okay, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Robbie Wilders. If people were only having one bet on Saturday, who should it be on, mate?
Each way bet on Gissa Sub at a massive price in the 3:40 Ayr, the Gold Cup.
Thank you very much. Birchie?
Jump the gun, 2:30 Ayr each way.
Marvellous. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you, producer Sam. Most of all, though, thank you for listening. We are back next Friday with another podcast looking ahead to Future Champions Day and also the Cambridgeshire. So we'd love you to join us for that. Have a great weekend.